Ladies and gentlemen, you are currently tuning in to DJ T-Baby, and this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. And unfortunately, my boy DJ P-Ab is not able to be on the show at this current moment. He has some business to attend to, but he might come through later on. So you are going to be stuck with me for at least a while. But I do have some interesting topics to discuss on the show. I got to talk about March Madness, both men's and women's. If you caught the men's game, that was Monday. Women's game was last night. And then I am going to always have the Word Up Wednesday segment. That'll come after the first commercial break. And since I'm going to have the Word Up Wednesday segment, I'm going to have to keep talking about hip-hop. I'm going to talk about who's killing it in the game right now. Who's not? So I'm going to be naming a lot of underground rappers who I've been listening to for a while and who are doing it big. And those are guys you should listen to. And I'm going to point out some of the mainstream guys you shouldn't listen to. But that will come later on. To kick it off, I am going to have to start with March Madness. Because if you're not a March Madness fan, I don't know what you are a fan of. I personally think that the NCAA tournament is by far the best sporting event in the history of sports. I know the World Cup, the Super Bowl are up there. But there's really something special about the NCAA tournament. My bracket wasn't the best this year. I admit it, I only got two of the four Final Fours, none of the championship teams. But I pretty much watched every game I could, and I thought it was just as good of a tournament as there's ever been. It's always good every year. And specifically speaking about the championship game, that took place on Monday. I'm sure most of you out there listening to this show got to be sports fans, so I'm sure most of you saw the game. And it wasn't the best game. It was better than last year's championship, of course, because last year's championship was Butler-UConn. And that game was atrocious. No one could shoot the ball in the ocean. It was a terrible game. This game got better towards the end. The first half was pretty weak. Kentucky just dominated the first half. Kansas didn't have much life until they made a layup to close out the half. But even that was not nearly enough. And if you ask me, my honest opinion, the game went the way it should have. In fact, Kentucky should have really won by 15 to 20 points. Because in terms of just not only talent, but in terms of a team, and honestly, I know Kansas is known for defense, but I think Kentucky's defense honestly might be better than Kansas' defense because of Kentucky's absurd length. I absolutely think that Kentucky could have easily won this game by at least 20 points. The fact that Kansas was even in it and made it an 8-point game, I think, is something special. And I'm going to read out some of the lines. I know Anthony Davis was the MVP, and that was a surprise to certain people because he only had 6 points, but he had just a nutty line. He put up 16 boards, 6 blocks, 5 assists, 3 steals. So I know he only had the 6 points, was only 1 of 12 from the field, but that's a line, because I think it was Gary Payton who said about Scottie Pippen that he's the only guy who can score like 4 or 6 points but dominate the game. And Anthony Davis only scored 6 points, but he dominated the game. And I know that might sound bizarre and perplexing, but if you watch that game, he affected the way the game was played on every level and every facet of basketball, even towards the end. When I think Kansas was down by 6 and a 3-pointer was taken by Kansas, Anthony Davis jumped. I think it was Elijah who shot the 3. Davis jumped at him, forced him to travel. And the point is just pretty much that Davis really impacted the game. Deron Lamb also had a big game. He dropped 22 points to lead all, I think led all scorers with 22 points. 7 of 12 from the field, 3 of 6 from threes. And he hit some clutch threes when Kansas was finally starting to make a run. He would hit a 3 that was just essentially a dagger. And then from the Kansas standpoint, Thomas Robinson struggled from the field, but I love this guy. I think he has incredible heart and determination, and I know that's kind of a cliche thing to say. It's thrown around carelessly, but Thomas Robinson has just mad heart. That guy literally played his heart out. Didn't literally, but he really played hard. I know he struggled from the field, but I think that's because of Davis's length. Even though Davis didn't always guard Robinson, the length of Kentucky really hurt Kansas. But Robinson did manage to put up 18 points, 17 rebounds, even with the bad shooting. If you can put up 18 points, 17 rebounds, you're doing your job. He also went 6 of 7 from the line, and he's normally a bad free throw shooter. So to go 6 of 7 from the line really helped his teammates. And Tyshawn Taylor, the senior, playing in his last game, also played a pretty good game. He was 8 of 17 from the field, 1 of 1 on 3, and that was actually his first 3-pointer made of the tournament. I think he had been 0 of 20, had 4 rebounds, did have 5 turnovers, but considering the defense that Kentucky played and the fact that Kansas really only has Robinson and Taylor as go-to scorers. You can kind of zero in on those two guys. With that taken into consideration, going 8-17 from the field and dropping 19 points is great. And I think Taylor finally started to get some rhythm, because the first couple games of the tournament, he just had nothing going. But in this game, he actually displayed some of the talent that made him such an effective four-year player at Kansas. But again, just to talk about Kansas, their road to the tournament, they beat Detroit first round, but even some people said Detroit win. They got past Detroit. Second round, they really should have lost to Purdue. Purdue absolutely choked and essentially gift-wrapped that game for Kansas. They said, we don't want to go to the Sweet 16. We want you to go to the Sweet 16. Kansas took advantage of late-game mistakes by Purdue. Purdue was winning the whole game. Kansas stole it at the end. Got to the Sweet 16, faced my favorite team, NC State, who, man, they were a special team this year, really could have easily beat Kansas, could have had them defeated. They shot in the 20%. They were 28, 29%, something like that. And Kansas only won by three. NC State had a chance to pull out a victory at the end. Kansas really got lucky to win that game. And then in the Elite Eight, one of the best games of the tournament, even though the score won't indicate it, Kansas-North Carolina was a great game. First half was absolutely fantastic. Second half, not as good because Kansas pulled away late in the game. But if Kendall Marshall played in that game, there's no doubt in my mind that North Carolina would have been marching in the Final Four, even could have contended with Kentucky in that championship game. So my point is that Kansas really did incredibly well to even reach the final. They could have lost easily every game in this tournament except for their first round game, which wasn't even a blowout. So to even lose to eight to Kentucky, who's a superior team in terms of team camaraderie, in terms of talent, honest coaching's kind of a toss-up, but pretty much in all facets, Kentucky was the dominant team. So congratulations to the Wildcats, even though I'm not a big fan of their coach. I didn't want them to win. I would have rather have seen Missouri in that game because I picked them to go to the championship, but they got out first round. But it was a great tournament, a pretty good championship game, and I can't wait for it next year. And then, of course, there was the women's tournament. Don't really talk about women's sports that much on the show, but I got to give them a shout out because Skylar Diggins played in that game. And wow, if P.I. was here, he would agree with me. Skylar Diggins is something special as a player and as just a girl to look at. I mean, she is just drop-dead gorgeous. I think all the guys out there are on Skylar Diggins' jock right there right now. I know I like her page on Facebook. I don't even know if she operates the page, but somebody does, and she has quite a few likes. But Skylar Diggins played for Notre Dame, and this was the second season in a row Notre Dame made the championship, so they pulled the Texas Rangers, losing two seasons in a row in the final game, which I imagine has to be a tough pill to swallow. But they played Brittany Griner in Baylor, who capped a historic season with a 40-0 record. And if you don't know Brittany Griner, she's the 6'8 standout who has been just tormenting college defenses this year. And she had another great game in the final. She went 11 of 16 from the floor, put up 26 points, grabbed 13 rebounds, and swatted five shots. So she's obviously a huge presence. And when you're 6'8 in women's basketball, your presence is just beyond words. I mean, in college, 6'8, you're maybe a power forward. In NBA, you're maybe a shooting guard, small forward. But in women's basketball at the college level, even at the WNBA level, 6'8 is just monstrous. But I have to give a shout out to Skylar Diggins because she played her heart out as well. Didn't have a great game from the floor, 7 of 17. But that's not bad considering Baylor's defense. Went 2 of 5 on threes, had 20 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. And Skylar Diggins actually obtained some fame last season when Notre Dame had this run, and then a lot of guys just took recognition of her. And even Lil Wayne was spotted wearing a Skylar Diggins jersey during one of his performances. So shout out to Skylar Diggins. But unfortunately, it was not enough because Baylor won. And again, they went 40-0. I know in women's basketball, I believe undefeated seasons are more prevalent than in men's, because when you have a player like Brittany Griner, she rarely has a bad game, because when you're 6'8 at the woman's level, you're almost going to be effective no matter what your stat line is, because just your sheer length and your presence in the paint, and you're not only blocking shots, much like Anthony Davis, you're not only blocking shots, you're changing shots. So you're altering the game on multiple levels. So that's why Baylor is undefeated. I know they have some role players and they're coached well. But Brittany Griner just essentially can't be shut down. In men's basketball, Anthony Davis was, relatively speaking, shut down. He only went 1 of 12 from the 1 of 10 from the floor. Jeff Withey pretty much shut him down offensively. But even though he had the line where he had 16, 5, 6, whatever, he didn't do well in offense. So Kentucky could have caved in. But they had Deron Lamb, who went for 22. Kid Gilchrist, Terrence Jones threw in points when they could. The point is that they had their role players and even their other, not only role players, but their starters and their star players step up. Brittany Griner rarely has a bad game, so no one else really has to step up because she's always there. So this is why Kentucky lost two games, because when Davis didn't play well, no one else could really step up. And I don't have the line on those games available. I know their two losses were to Indiana and Vanderbilt in the SEC championship. But the point is, you're beatable. And if some of your stars are shut down, you need other players to step up. And in the case of Baylor, they were 40-0 because Brittany Griner was always there, and the other players didn't necessarily always have to step up. But again, it was an absolutely fantastic NCAA tournament. I cannot be more happy with it. And before I take a commercial break, I'm just going to talk about a few of the players and their draft status. I'm going to go back to NC State because NC State's my favorite team. If you're not familiar with CJ Leslie, he's their star power forward. He is currently in the process of deciding whether or not to come back for his junior season as a member of the Wolfpack, or enter the NBA draft. My advice, CJ, if you're listening, come back to school. I know you have talent. You can jump out of the gym. You're an athletic freak. Your post moves aren't fantastic, but they're becoming more polished by the day. I think he should stay for a few reasons. One reason, him and Coach Mark Gottfried have built quite a relationship in just one season. So if you come back, you'll have that rapport with your teammates, because Lorenzo Brown, another player who could enter the draft, is likely coming back. So you'll come back with Lorenzo Brown. You'll still have Wood. You'll still have Howell. The only player you're losing is CJ Williams, but NC State has one of the top five recruiting classes coming in. They have three McDonald's All-Americans. They got Tyler Lewis and Purvis, and then one other McDonald's All-American coming in. So it's going to be a stacked Wolfpack team. And then all of North Carolina's players are leaving. Kendall Marshall, Harrison Barnes, and John Henson leaving the draft, going to the draft and not finishing their college careers. And Tyler Zeller finished 4 years in North Carolina, so he's in the draft. So CJ Leslie, if you come back to NC State for your junior season, you guys, I think, could be preseason top 10, top 15, and can make a realistic run at the Final Four. So please come back as a Wolfpack. But if you go to the NBA, it's been a hell of a run during these 2 years, considering the fact that most people thought this was a one-and-done player. The fact he even returned for his sophomore season, the fact he even chose to attend NC State over Kentucky and UConn, who offered him scholarships. God bless you, CJ. It's been a great 2 years, but hopefully you will come back to NC State for your junior season. I think that decision has to be made prior to next Tuesday. And then Lorenzo Brown, the point guard / shooting guard, you also got to stay, because you're only going to be at best a second-round pick. And if both you stay, you could both be top first-round. CJ Leslie could be a lottery pick, maybe a top 10 pick, and Lorenzo Brown could be a mid to late first-round pick rather than a second-round pick. So your stock will actually increase if you stay another year, barring an injury. On that note, it's been DJT, baby. This is What Are You Talking About? And it's only available via radio.dominican.edu. I am going to take a quick commercial break, but when I return, it's going to be Westside / Word Up Wednesday. I'm going to spit a little rap for you, and then I'm going to talk about just the nature of the rap game, who's killing it, and who isn't. So stay tuned if you want to hear T-Baby rap. I'll be back in a few.
Just plain old Marshall to me.
Ooh yeah, girl, run that game.
Haley Jade, I love that name. Love that tattoo, what's that say? That's great.
First off, you don't know Marshall at all, so don't grow partial. That's for my arsenal. I f*** you off that bar stool. There goes another lawsuit. Leave handprints all across you. Good loaded, roadie, you must be going off that water bottle. You want what you can't have. Ooh girl, that's too damn bad.
Don't touch what you can't grab. End up with two back hands. Put on a you do you can't stand. Girl, you just blew your chance. Don't mean to ruin your plans, but I do know one thing, no. They come, they go. Saturday through Sunday, Monday, Monday through Sunday, yo. Maybe I'll love you one day, maybe we'll someday grow. Till then, just sit your drunk on that runway. I know you for me, baby, I think I want you too.
I think I love you, baby.
I think I love you too. I'm here to save you, girl. Come be in Jesus' world. I wanna grow together. Let's let our love unfurl. You know you want me, baby. You know I want you too. They call me Superman. I'm here to rescue you. I wanna save you, girl. Come be in Jesus' world.
Oh, why you drive me crazy?
You make me Earl.
I can't be your Superman. Can't be your Superman. Can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman. I can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman. Can't be your Superman, your Superman, your Superman. I can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman. Can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman. I can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman. Can't be your Superman, your Superman, your Superman.
Hey there, this is DJ Noni, and I'm the host of Finding Your Voice. Join me every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. for a treasure trove of life wisdom that will help you navigate and find your way as you discover who you are and what your purpose is. I'll share personal and professional experience, interviews, letters from listeners, and inspiration. What can I do to support and encourage you as you become who you want to be on your journey? Life? We can do this thing. And that'll be on Mondays from 4 to 5 p.m. on radio.dominican.edu.
I sincerely apologize for Mamma Mia playing in the background. I got it on the Dominican playlist right now, which isn't bad. Not trying to criticize it, but not a big Mamma Mia guy. Anyway, this is DJ T Baby, and this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. And honestly, people, I'm feeling a bit lonely right now. My boy DJ Piab is unable to be on the current show because he has some business to attend to. He might be able to. There's a chance that he'll be able to come onto the show later, but it's still going to be me for a while, maybe even the whole hour. But as I promised, this is West Side Wednesday, and me and Piab always have a little bit of a rap display on West Side / Word Up Wednesday. And again, if any of you ever want to get on the show and spit some verses, just go to Tyler Burse Facebook, or if you know me, just contact me and I can get you on the show. It doesn't even have to be rap. It can, if you want your music played, if you just want to be on the show to talk sports, talk anything, hit me up. But this is T Baby. I'm gonna kill the Mamma Mia beat because this is gonna be a cappella, and I'm gonna spit something I wrote for you, so hopefully you will enjoy it. And then after I spit this, probably take a quick break and then get back to talking about rap as I promised earlier. But as far as the rap goes, it goes like this. Yo. They say innocent until proven guilty. but this dude is inching towards me. Soon he'll kill me. He'll shoot and lift me to the sky. I'm through. I'm history. The clues are iffy. The screws are blitzing. I'm not amused. I'm confused. So let's get stupid, silly. I'm automatic, lyrically raw, the package causing havoc, far from passive, I harm in clashes, spar the fastest, your bars are lacking, I'm the hardest rapping, there's no question about that, saying I'm not ill, there's no mention about that, turn on my mic and I start shredding the soundtrack, I go bonkers, a grown monster perfected, I now blast, don't even turn the speakers up, turn the ether up, the hands of Satan, I have that firm and evil touch, my words will deeply crush, I know it's been a minute since we last spoke, life's an incomplete movie and a bad joke. Forget streams of money and cash flow. This is the recognition of real. I crack formulas that math won't. On the wings of destiny, you wish to crash hope. The water filled with passengers. You want to kill and massacre the final shreds of decency, but I'm wrecking ceaselessly. I'm too ill to rap a verse. I'll throw bombs, you pass with nerf. Safety on, this is child's play. Rifle aimed at the ground, what led my mind astray? I'm stuck in the kind of cage that animals share close quarters with. My flow's torturous, there's no line I can't cross when I'm in the zone, borderless. This is my own horror flick, no Michael Myers. Step inside the cipher and be met with the graces of the most enlightened rhymers, singing the songs of spirits I provide the choir. My people tell me I hold a ticket. They say my soul is vicious. My poems just kill it like I down whiskey with each lyric. These dudes only sip it. Literally no time to spare. I can't loan a minute. I could smoke your writtens with random rhymes off the top. When you neglect brilliance, you make the artist rot. Cruise that step, lose your breath, your heart will stop. I'm forever living in a dream like my alarm gets blocked. I don't need a Glock to beat ya. This is the rock for Cena. My thoughts are deeper. You are an obnoxious diva. I will cross your D up. Better switch to zone or play man harder. Wrath stronger. The demonic formulations I compose smash armor, and your career will poorly fade like a bad barber. Hats off for those who keep it nasty. You may know rap, but you speak it badly. My wordplay has the physique of Lashley. Even my alter ego thinks I'm wacky, killing off than Jimmy Johnson in his prime flow. You don't have the speed to pass me. I will never obtain fame and fortune, even though the page is scorching after my pen touches. Break rappers, get crutches, my blade's enormous. Your brain is forceless, your heart is rotten like decaying corpses. I will invade your fortress until pain enforces and persuades the sources of the game to forfeit. So erase the orbits, aim with torches, embrace the war with grenades. Grenades and sword tips, and watch me burn down Rap's mansion after I break the door and brah. That's DJ T, baby. It's What Are You Talking About? It's only available via radio.dominican.edu. And that was a little rap for everybody. I'm going to take a real quick commercial break. I know I just took one. This is going to be a quick one, just a couple minutes long. And when I get back, I'm going to talk about rap. So you want to stay tuned for that because I got some things that you will want to hear. Stay tuned. Keep it locked.
Say, ooh, bop, bop, baby, please. fan of Two and a Half Men? No. How about the Big Bang Theory?
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state.
Okay, no. So, Star Wars? No. Okay. So, you know what? Forget about it. It doesn't matter. Because we are going to cover everything on TV and movies. This is Camera Roll. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 6. Only on radio.dominican.edu.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It is your boy DJ T-Baby, and you are currently listening to another brilliant episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu, and I know I've said it a couple times, so sorry to annoy you if you've already heard it a couple times, but I just want to remind all you listening that my boy DJ P-Ab is unable to attend the show at this moment. He might be on later, but for now, it's just me, DJ T-Baby, doing my solo act. I already talked about March Madness. I already kicked a little verse for everybody, and since I just kicked that verse, just rapped on the mic, I'm going to continue the show by talking about rap, and this is actually my favorite thing to talk about, and this surprises people, because a lot of people do not see me as a big rap fan until they get to know me, but once you get to know me, you understand that rapping and doing spoken word and writing rhymes and spitting rhymes is my biggest passion by far, and listening to dope rappers who actually spit with passion and conviction and delivery and rhyme schemes are my favorite people to listen to, not the whack garbage that the majority of the population enjoys. Not that it's all garbage, but I'll get into that later. I'm going to start off by talking about some of the dudes that I'm just not feeling right now. Some of the rappers that lack in lyricism. They lack in just essentially all facets when it comes to being a rapper. First dude is Tyga. Fool. This dude is not, he's just not a good rapper. I only bring this up because people tell me they like Tyga. They think he's lyrical. My thing with the mainstream versus underground argument is there's nothing wrong with liking mainstream rap. There's nothing wrong with saying I like Tyga. But when you say Tyga's lyrical, when you say mainstream rappers are most lyrical, are the most lyrical or are more lyrical than underground rappers, that's where I draw the line. Tyga is not dope. He's not lyrical. Yeah, he has some flow, but his lyrics are trash. All his songs essentially sound the same. He's not a skilled artist. I view rap as a form of artistry, and Tyga is not a skilled artist. So that's one guy I'm just throwing out. I'm not listening to. Another guy, he kind of has an underground sound, but he's pretty mainstream, is Tyler, the Creator. One of my buddies actually showed me him like a year or two ago. That's when I first heard of him. And he's not bad. It's not that Tyler, the Creator is that bad, because he has the perfect voice for rap. He has that kind of deep, demonic voice. He looks like a rapper. And again, with a voice, he sounds like a rapper. But I'm not feeling his music and his whole gimmick, because I'm not feeling his image because I think it's a gimmick. I think he's not necessarily this dark, and if you don't know Tyler, the Creator, he's this really dark, he's obtained mainstream fame, but he's dark, he's aggressive, he kind of has an underground sound, but he has mainstream success, and a lot of fans of mainstream rap also are fans of Tyler, the Creator, but he's just, when you compare him to underground rappers, like the guys I'm going to get into later, he's not dope, he's not a sick rapper, he has a great rapping voice, and he's unequivocally dark. But it's darkness without a message. That's the misconception. A lot of underground rappers are aggressive, and they're dark, and their beats and flow is just grimy and gritty, but at least they have a message to it. I feel like Tyler, the Creator, is dark and aggressive just for the sake of being dark and aggressive. It's a gimmick. He and his boys, some of them are actually dope. Earl Sweatshirt is good. He's a good rapper. He has flow. He has lyrics. He's great. I think Earl Sweatshirt is a good rapper. I don't even listen to his music that much, but I've seen a few videos of him on YouTube, and he's skilled. He's a skilled MC, but Tyler, the Creator, is not. And I'm hating on Tyler, the Creator, because he dissed Immortal Technique, and then Immortal Technique's great friend, who I'm going to get into later, Diabolik, also an underground rapper, dissed Tyler back. But I'm not feeling taking a shot at Immortal Technique because he's an underground legend. And Tyler, the Creator, said something along the lines of he's not going to obtain fame in like the Billboard charts. Immortal Technique, guys like that, underground heads, aren't going for fame with Billboard charts. Let me tell you something about Immortal Technique. On multiple occasions, he has turned down offers to sign with major record labels. And I am assuming and fully believe that this is because he doesn't want to sacrifice his message, his integrity, for fame. He would rather have loyal followers who appreciate the art of rap than widespread success. But he actually does have widespread success, just not on a mainstream level. But for an underground rapper, Immortal Technique is as successful as they come. So Tyga, Tyler, the Creator, guys, I'm not feeling right now. Last dude I'm going to just throw out right now, Lil Wayne, I'm not feeling you right now. And again, Lil Wayne has some, occasionally he has flashes of greatness. That song, No Love, with Eminem. Honestly, Lil Wayne's verse, in my mind, is a fantastic verse. It's profound. He has flow. His wordplay is clever. But I'm not feeling Lil Wayne because not so much of for who Lil Wayne is, but for how his fans see him. Because a lot of Lil Wayne's fans think he's, like, incredible. They think he's God's gift. He's, like, the best rapper alive. So I'm not hating on Lil Wayne. I'm not even going to hate on Tyga or Tyler, the Creator in terms of the fact that they've reached success. I'm not a hater. Good for you. If you can have success in the rap game, in the music business, unequivocally one of the hardest businesses to break through, the music business, and especially the rap business. Not that I'm speaking personal experience, because I rap, but I have never really put anything out there on a too wide of a scale. I just kind of write my bars and I perform spoken word stuff, but I've only rapped on a few tracks. But I just know from research and just natural intelligence, it's commonly believed and known that the music business is hard to break through. So I'm not going to criticize these dudes for having success. I'm just going to criticize their message. And I'm going to criticize the fact of why so many fans think that they're great. Because Lil Wayne is not a great rapper. Occasionally, he has great verses. But when you judge body of work, when I'm talking about some of the underground guys I'm about to get to, they have body of work for days. They are consistent. They have a platform that they've built, and it's been built with raw lyricism. And they bring it on every verse. Occasionally, maybe one verse is slightly worse than the other, but it's always a great verse. Lil Wayne will talk about just random stuff that doesn't make sense, and his fans are, oh, he's so deep, he's so clever. Lil Wayne is not deep, he's not clever. On No Love with Eminem, he has a dope verse, but he's not a great rapper. So Tyga, Tyler, the Creator, Lil Wayne, there's plenty more mainstream heads I'm not feeling these days, but those are a few. So now I'm going to transition and talk about who's kind of killing it in the rap game. Who are some of the best dudes? And again, a guy I mentioned earlier, Diabolik. He was put on by Immortal Technique, his good friend, a long time ago. The song Dancing with the Devil, a very famous song, actually has a hidden track in Diabolik's first rap that obtained or reached a level of success was on that song. So Immortal Technique kind of put Diabolik on. He's just this big, stocky white dude from New York, but I honestly think he is one of the best rappers in the history of hip-hop. And that may surprise you because a lot of you have probably never heard of him. Most of the people at Dominican that I know of that have heard of him because of me, because I say, listen to this guy, he's sick. And he released his debut album 2 years ago, I think 2 years ago in April, called Liar and a Thief. He's been on countless songs and he had a lot of mixtapes, but his first album, which is one of the best albums, wow, it's an amazing album. One of the best albums in the history of rap. It's called Liar and a Thief, so cop that if you haven't already. And the rumor is that he has another album coming out. He dropped a single called Mission Statement, which is great. If you don't know anything about Diabolik, just YouTube Diabolik Mission Statement, and you'll get just this great rap. Because the thing about Diabolik is he's extremely anti-mainstream. And even in his raps, he essentially admits the fact that he's not going to make a lot of money and he's not going to be an economically successful rapper. But essentially in trade for that, he gets to pretty much keep his dignity, keep his integrity, and spit the message that he wants to spit. And he does a thing. I don't know if you're not a rap fan, I might lose you here. I'm going to try to do my best and pay it justice by explaining it. He has multi-syllable rhymes, which is essentially what I had, what I try to write in my pieces, I say, like, proven guilty, dude is inching, soon he'll kill me, shoot and lift me, or another example, let's see what I got, man, gotta play man harder, wrath stronger, smash armor, bad barber, it's when you're rhyming more than one word, it's not just harder rhyming with armor, it's man harder rhyming with smash armor, those are some of my examples, and Diabolik is the king of the multis right now, and if you haven't heard of that concept, I wouldn't be too surprised, because a lot of mainstream rap fans, even though there are good amount of mainstream rappers that use this tactic. A lot of just people who don't know rap very well don't know what a multi-syllable rhyme is. And it takes such great commitment and work, because I could rhyme pain, range, main, game. I could rhyme single syllables like that for days. That's not, I don't view that as necessarily that hard to do, even if you're not a rapper, even if you don't write raps. If you just write one word, you can at least probably come up with a few words that rhyme with it. But when you start rhyming 2, 3, 4 words at a time, that's when you reach that new level that Diabolik's on. And it's not like Diabolik invented it. Nas has been doing multi-syllable rhymes since the 90s. It's not a new tactic. I'm not acting like I'm starting this tactic, or Diabolik or these underground rappers are starting this tactic, because a lot of mainstream rappers use it. Jay-Z uses it. Nas has been using it since the 90s. But Diabolik right now is using it best. So, again, his songs, Mission Statement's a great one. Some of his older stuff is I Don't Want to Rhyme. And then Frontlines features Immortal Technique. It's a great track. And Soldier's Logic. So if you want to find out more about Diabolik, YouTube some of those songs. So they're dope. Another rapper who's been killing it for a long time, Immortal Technique, my favorite rapper. Arguably the best to do it. I think he might be the best rapper of all time. Some of his songs, older ones, are Positive Balance, No Mercy. Some of his new ones are Black Vikings, which has Vinny Paz on it, Eyes in the Sky, which is one of the best songs of all time, and Angels and Demons, which takes a great sample from Aerosmith and puts it in that song. Immortal Technique, to me, is the king of underground rap. He has been killing it since the late 90s, early 2000s, so he's been in the game for a long time. He's toured all over the world. He has arguably had more success than any underground rapper, and he started off by selling records independently. And just to reiterate, he refused to sign multiple deals with mainstream record labels because he wanted to continue to evoke his righteous message, and Immortal Technique is dope. He has the best line in history of rap. He says, I love when people think I'm psychologically disturbed because it means I overloaded their neurological nerves. To me, done. You're done. That's the best line in the history of rap. If you don't think that's a dope line, you should just quit whatever you're doing, because that is an incredible line. And Immortal Technique is personally my favorite rapper. And him and Diabolik are kind of a team, because, again, Immortal Technique put Diabolik on, and they're always on each other's tracks and music, and they work together. So they kind of are one and the same. And to me, those are maybe the two best rappers of all time. A guy I've been feeling lately, and again, I just started listening to his music, so I'm not going to claim that I've been with this guy since day one, but I don't think he has incredibly wide success, but he does have somewhat of a following, and some of his YouTube songs have millions of views. His name's Hobson. His real name is Marcus Hobson with two O's in it, but his rapper name is Hobson, which is H-O-P-S-I-N. So you got to Google H-O-P-S-I-N, Hobson. Google, YouTube that guy. He is great. I just started listening to him a few weeks ago, but I'm not putting him on the same level as the Diabolik's and Immortal Technique's, but he's up there. He is currently killing the game. I heard him on a track where he dissed Tyler, the Creator, and then from there, I just listened to essentially any song he's ever composed. He was originally on Ruthless Records, which is run by Eazy-E's wife, and they didn't see eye to eye, so he left and started his own record label. I believe it's called Funk Volume, and he's killing it. He has this song, Lucifer Effect, with his boy Swizz, and Swizz is S-W-I-Z-Z-Z, not Swizz Beez, it's Swizz with 3 Z's. He's another guy who's doing very well in the underground realm. Hobson has a song with Swizz called Lucifer Effect, and to me, that's one of the best songs in the history of rap, because it's criticizing the mainstream for what it is. It's essentially calling out the mainstream and saying that the main reason these guys have success is because they talk about nonsense. They talk about guns. They talk about how many girls they've smashed. They talk about going to the club. They talk about the weaponry, the guns that they don't have. I already said guns, but I should say it twice because so many of those dudes talk about it. And this song, Lucifer Effect, which again is Hobson featuring Swizz, they just criticize that message. They pretty much are saying in a kind of not subliminal, but it's not, it's the show don't tell. They're not like breathing, not beating it down your throat by saying, oh, mainstream sucks and underground's great. They're not just straight up saying that. It's like they're conveying their message through the beauty of rap. And that might sound a little too poetic or soft, but it's true. Through rap, they're criticizing mainstream and they're saying that underground heads need more of a following. But Hobson, he has like 150,000, 160,000 likes on his Facebook page. One of his songs has like 10 million views, and he's on a dope track with Tech N9ne called Am I a Psycho? Also got B.O.B. on it. Just a great song. And Hobson, I think, is just going to continue to rise. I think he's either 25 or 26 years old. He is just, he's killing it because he's not what your mainstream artist brings. He has an underground sound. He has incredible flow, one of the best flows I've heard in my life. He has the multi-syllable rhymes down, and he tells a story. And to counteract the Tyler, the Creator, Hobson's dark. I mean, he wears like contacts that make his eyes all white. He's dark. He's aggressive. But there's a reason that he's dark and aggressive. He still has that profound and anti-mainstream, pro-underground, dope flow, nasty lyricism style. And he stays true to it. So he's like, he's actually a dark and aggressive rapper. He's not doing that just for the sake of being that, like Tyler, the Creator. And again, Hobson even says some of his songs, he has this image just to reel you in. Because you see a dude, a black dude with white eyes, all white eyes, spitting and dissing Tyler, the Creator, dissing some of rap's kings, essentially. And he draws you in with that image, and the image suits him perfectly. But it's not just the image for the sake of image. He is trying to build a following. But at the same time, while he's dark and aggressive and attempting to build a following, he's not forfeiting his beliefs. He's not forfeiting raw lyricism. He's, as the kids would say it, he's keeping it real. Which guys like, and again, don't clown me for saying that. I'm quoting what the people are saying these days. People say keep it real. I would never really say it. But that's essentially what Hobson is doing. And he's built quite a following. Hope it continues to rise. A couple more guys before a break I'm going to throw out there. Tech N9ne, he's been in the game, again, since I think late 90s, early 2000s. He's an underground rapper. He has the multi-syllables down. He performs all over. He's been in Santa Cruz a few times, the Bay Area. Tech N9ne's dope. Riot Maker is a great song. Welcome to My World. And also, you got to search Am I a Psycho? It's Tech N9ne featuring Hobson, who's on the second verse, B.O.B.'s on the third verse, Tech N9ne kills the first verse. All the dudes kill it. You could argue Tech N9ne is the worst verse, even though he's great. But I've been in love with Tech N9ne as a rapper for quite a while. And then in terms of groups who are doing it big, Jedi Mind Tricks and Army of the Pharaohs, they're essentially the same group. Army of the Pharaohs is a bigger version of Jedi Mind Tricks. But Jedi Mind Tricks, they got Vinnie Paz, Jessalaw, to name a couple. They're probably, in my mind, the best group in the history of hip-hop, even better than the Wu-Tang Clan. I know Wu-Tang Clan's great, and they did a lot paving the way for other artists, but Jedi Mind Tricks, just, they have that raw lyricism, and they're consistent. Every dude who spits on a Jedi Mind Tricks track kills the verse, you know what I mean? They don't take plays off, essentially. They just come consistently. Last group I'm going to throw out to you is Rhyme Asylum. They're a group from the UK. You can like them on Facebook. I think they got like 10,000 views. By no means have they blown up, but they do have a bit of a following. They actually recently performed alongside Jedi Mind Tricks, which is huge to open for those guys. So Rhyme Asylum, Jedi Mind Tricks, two of the groups killing it right now. But again, guys, I'm not feeling Tyga. I'm not feeling Tyler, the Creator. I'm not feeling Lil Wayne. But I've been listening to Diabolik and Immortal Technique for years. I've been listening to Tech N9ne and also Jedi Mind Tricks, also Rhyme Asylum for years. But I just started feeling this dude, Hobson. He is an incredibly gifted talent. I love his message. I love his flow, his delivery, his lyrics. Some of his songs are Lucifer Effect, You Are My Enemy, Nocturnal Rainbows, and then he has the four set of Ill Mind of Hobson. So he has Ill Mind of Hobson 1 through 4. All great tracks. Definitely listen to that. That's my session. Honestly, I write raps, write spoken word pieces, and I've been in love with rap since I was a kid. So honestly, I feel like I know what I'm talking about. And I feel like you should honestly, I really feel like you should take into consideration what I'm saying. Why I say these dudes aren't that good. I think you should try to see why these guys aren't that good. Why they aren't gifted rappers. When I say Hobson, Diabolik, etc. are killing the game right now with their lyricism and delivery, I would like to think that you would say, you know what, T-Baby, you're right. These guys are dope, and I'm going to start following them. You don't necessarily have to say they're the best rapper of all time, but at least give their music a chance and understand that their music has this just great conviction, and it has this message, and they're loyal to themselves. They're loyal to the art of rap. All these mainstream cats totally lack that. They're just essentially sellouts who see an easy route. Again, not necessarily easy, because it's hard to obtain success in the mainstream realm, but they at least know that if you rap about guns, you rap about girls, you rap about the club scene, you can get and become successful. And I don't like that. I think you should stay true to your message. If that is your true message, okay. But I think most mainstream rappers are essentially clones. They're robots. That's not their true message. Underground rappers have a true message. They're far from robots. So listen to Hobson. Listen to Tech N9ne. Listen to some of these dudes. And don't always listen to mainstream rappers. And don't say they're the best rappers of all time. Because the underground is where true lyricism resides. Woo! I'm out of breath after that segment. It has been DJ T-Baby. This is What Are You Talking About? And it's only available via radio.dominican.edu. When I get back, I'm going to close it out with WrestleMania, maybe something else. But stay tuned. Lady Madonna will be on at 4 o'clock, but I still got about 10 minutes with you guys. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back and close out the show. So stay tuned.
Try as I may, I can never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy DJ T-Baby, and this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. And I only have about 10 minutes left with you today. One last reminder, it's just been me because DJ P-Eb had some business to attend to. I don't think he's going to make it because there's only 10 minutes left in the show. But next week, DJ T-Baby and DJ T-Baby, myself, and DJ P-Eb will both be back on the mics together. And P-Eb is the mastermind behind the Would You Rather segment. So unfortunately, we're not going to have that today. I'm going to close out by talking about WrestleMania, which transpired this past Sunday. And then I'm also going to have to give a My Man segment about anyone in the world of entertainment who has just been pretty much killing it. So that will come at the end. But for now, I'm going to talk about WrestleMania. If you're not a wrestling fan, hopefully I don't lose you, because I'm going to try to make it as interesting as possible. I actually haven't watched a WrestleMania event in years. I used to be a huge fan of WWE, of wrestling, of all, pretty much all the wrestlers were tremendously gifted, so every match was great. Now it seems like still has quite a following, because there was, what, like 80,000 people at this last WrestleMania, so I think it is still successful, because if it wasn't, it probably would have gone out of business by now, like some other organizations have. But it's still going strong, not as good as it used to be by no stretch of the imagination. But I was hanging out with my family this weekend, and we ordered WrestleMania, and it was quite a show. First match was Sheamus defeating Daniel Bryan, which was interesting because Daniel Bryan kissed his girlfriend, turned around, Sheamus kicked him in the face, pinned him, ball game. Sheamus became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion in about, what, 10 seconds? Second match was great because it was Kane and Randy Orton. And Kane has always been a personal favorite of mine. He's had many looks over the years. And on Sunday, to be honest, one of his looks was flabby. He looked, quite frankly, he looked out of shape, but he was still able to beat Randy Orton. And I'm not a fool. I know wrestling is fixed and it's planned. So when I say he was able to beat Randy Orton, essentially it was planned that he beat Randy Orton. And part of the reason wrestling was so fun to watch when you're a kid is because you didn't know it was planned or staged. You thought it was all real. But even though it's planned and fixed, I think for the most part, these guys are still, I mean, most of these guys, aside from Kane, the flabby ones, most of these guys are incredibly buff. They're gifted athletes. They have to know how to not injure themselves and not injure their opponents at the same time when they're performing moves. They have to try to deliver an essentially flawless performance in front of thousands of people at the venue, potentially hundreds of thousands to millions of people watching it at home. So it's honestly quite a sport and quite an art. I know it's planned and it's premeditated, but these guys are still athletes and they're still professionals. Another match was Big Show beating Cody Rhodes for the Intercontinental title. And then there's some other matches sprinkled here and there. I'm going to skip to the end because these, in my mind, were a couple of the best matches. This one wasn't the end. This was the fifth match. But The Undertaker versus Triple H was a glorious match. It made The Undertaker go to 20-0 in his WrestleMania career. He defeated Triple H in a Hell in a Cell steel cage match. And I know The Rock versus John Cena, which I actually referenced in my rap earlier. I don't need a Glock to beat you. This is The Rock versus Cena. Hopefully you got that. But that was the main event. And it was in Florida, in Miami, where The Rock played college football. So there's a lot of Rock fans there. But the best match in my mind was Triple H, Undertaker. They have mad history. Shawn Michaels was the special guest referee. He's a great friend of Triple H. And Undertaker ended Shawn Michaels' career. So there's a lot of history. Wow, I mean, Undertaker and Triple H each broke out of each other's special moves about five times, it seemed like. And why I like the match so much, again, I know it's premeditated, but I was actually touched when Undertaker beat Triple H, and then the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels wrapped up Triple H and carried him off the mat. And I know it's premeditated, but I was touched by this because these three dudes have been wrestling forever. The Undertaker, not Kane, they're brothers, but The Undertaker has been wrestling since, I believe, like the mid late 80s. So he's been around forever and he looked pretty old. But the fact that like a guy in his mid 40s can still put on a show at WrestleMania in his 20th WrestleMania is something special. So that was my personal favorite match. The Undertaker beating Triple H in a Hell in a Cell. Another great match was CM Punk and Chris Jericho, because these are two showmen. Jericho is the king of all showmen, maybe the best showman in the history of wrestling. CM Punk is kind of that new guy. He's kind of not necessarily the face of the WWE, but he's one of the main wrestlers doing it right now. And why I used to like wrestling so much, because there was like 50 guys that were main. You had Sting, you had The Rock, you had Triple H, even the Dudley Brothers. You had so many quality wrestlers. Now the quality is way worse. But CM Punk is my personal favorite that's still wrestling. and he beat Chris Jericho in a great match. There's some history there because Chris Jericho had criticized CM Punk because his father is an alcoholic, his sister is a drug addict, so it was personal, even though I know it's all planned pretty much, but it was personal. CM Punk was able to beat Jericho, and the main event actually was a great match. It did deliver. It was The Rock defeating John Cena. Cena was trying to perform the People's Elbow. He was trying to jock. He's trying to jack the swag of The Rock by doing his move. The Rock intervened in the move and rock bottom Cena to the ground, and Cena lost. I was rooting for The Rock because who doesn't love The Rock? But honestly, I like Cena. He's in a wrestling movie called Legendary, which I like. And he's not a very good actor, but I've always liked Cena as a wrestler, one of the most buff dudes you'll ever see. So I was rooting for The Rock, and you knew The Rock was going to win. The whole world knew Rock was going to win. He's not going to lose. This was his first time in the ring in like 6-7 years or something like that. So he beat Cena, but it was a great match. And WrestleMania 28 was an absolutely fantastic show. I enjoyed it. And on that note, I'm going to have to leave you listeners. Thank you for tuning in. I'm sorry that it was just me, DJ T-Baby, not my boy DJ P-Ab. He'll be here next week, as will I. So the Lethal Tandem will be back in the booth killing the mics next week. But I hope you enjoyed the topics. Talked about March Madness, talked about rap, talked about WrestleMania. Try to give a wide array of topics. It's been DJ T-Baby. This has been another brilliant episode of What Are You Talking About? And it's only available via radio.dominican.edu. And she's not in the booth yet. I'm assuming she's on her way. Lady Madonna should have a show on at 4 o'clock. So stay tuned. Thank you again for listening. And I am out. T-Baby, out.